Welcome to the C3 Church podcast. We're currently in our series, Back to Life. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Wonderful. Amen. This morning, we're going to start with a passage in Acts 3 and verse 19. I'd like you to stand up as we read this. Can you all just stand? We're not going to sing another song before we come to this, but you know, the Word of God is very powerful thing, and our reverence and respect for it always needs to remain high. And Acts 3:19, I want you to say this with me. Therefore, repent and turn back that your sins may be wiped out so that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray you'll open our hearts. You'll help us receive into our inner man light and truth so that, Father, we would go from this place as people who would influence others to stand strong and tall in a world that's threatening to overwhelm us in all kinds of ways. We believe, God, that you'll bring such a transformation in our hearts this morning through your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Thank you very much. All right. So with that passage of Scripture, repent, therefore, and turn back that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. Love that new song that Julian has written. Beautiful song. Magnificent. Amen. Really, really helps me connect with the Lord. And I just want to say here that word, times of refreshing, anapsuxis, is the Greek word. And it means to recover from the effects of heat. It's interesting that we use the term burnout. And a lot of people under stress are experiencing burnout. I read the stats from 1998. And then again recently I read the stats in Australia in 2011. It said 12% of Australians reported experiencing levels of stress in the severe range. Young adults, it's way up amongst young adults experiencing significantly higher levels of stress and lower levels of well-being than the general population. One in four Australians reported experiencing anxiety, with 9% of these in the severe range. Especially in the workplace, the most effective, I won't go through the whole list, but the most effective strategies for managing stress and burnout were reported to be spending time with friends, 60%, followed by listening to music, then watching TV. Church wasn't even in there. But I got to tell you, one of the greatest ways you'll ever recover from the effects of heat, burnout, is being in the house of God. Refreshing. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Tonight I'm preaching an entirely different message than this one. But I'm speaking about the same subject where Elijah, a prophet of God, burnt out. Literally. After he burnt a bull, he burnt out. And he got very depressed, very discouraged, and God had a strategy for reinvigorating him. And whatever we do, I find after a period of time, whether it's familiarity, whether it's continued stress, whether it's just the sameness of what we do, it tends to fade and we need reviving. Sometimes by a brand new, fresh thing coming into our life, but not always. Sometimes simply by reinvigorating the things we already have. And really, that's what revival is. It's not something new. It's actually bringing to life something that we used to have but now has died. And in the valley of dry bones, It's structure, and it's flesh, and it's breath that all need reviving. The structure needed reviving. Our basic bottom line structure here is connect groups, and we're always wanting to keep reviving our leaders and look after them and stir them with great vision for multiplying. But that's just not the structure. It's the flesh. It's the heartbeat. It's the feeling that people have towards God. You don't want ever that to let that dull down so we no longer love the Bible or love church or love the Lord. You want to keep love and joy and the feeling of God, if you like, high through worship and revive those feelings. And then the supernatural motivation, like the breath that Ezekiel prophesied into those bones and flesh once they'd come together, life came back into them. And that's something that nobody can do for you except the Lord. And there are moments when you put yourself before God, you'll feel fresh life come all the way through you. When that happens to me, I can't even sleep. I can hardly hear people talk. I get so focused. I'm thinking, my God, that's what we're going to do. I see the vision of the future, and I know exactly what strategy I'm going to use to get there. And so when that reinvigoration happens, I can feel like 20 years get cut off my life straight away. Bam, I'm ready to go for another 50. Amen. I think, wow, here we go. Whereas maybe before that, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, time's up. I'm out, you know. Yeah, anytime, I'm ready. And, you can get to that point. And the tragedy is, I mean, young people feeling like that, and I think you haven't even started. There's so many blue skies you're yet to see. There's so many beautiful people you're yet to meet. There's so many amazing experiences you're yet to have. There's so much you could do for God. There's so much you could fulfill in your life. So much potential is wrapped up in your body. And I'm feeling like that about myself. I'm still so young. You know, there's so much ahead of me. Nobody laugh. Amen. Right. There is so much ahead of you. So much ahead of you. So much more than is behind you. So what happened is that Peter says, so repent, therefore repent. So that times of refreshing might come. Repent so that times. So meaning that if you don't repent, the times of refreshing can't come. Okay, so we've got to deal with that area this morning. We've got to talk about this thing where we need to repent and let go of stuff and get rid of stuff that is draining us and fatiguing us. What's with all the vampire movies? How many vampire movies can you make? I mean, one thing I know, though, you cannot afford to hang out with things that suck the life out of you. That's why there's so many vampire movies. It's telling us there are a lot of things out there trying to drain you, trying to suck the life out of you. And sometimes they're people. I don't know if you've met Mrs. Vampire yet, but or Mr. Vampire, or Sunny Vampire. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes there are relationships that are not helping us. And we feel like it's going to help us. You see, he didn't say, like, okay, so you're weary. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary, I'm going to give you a holiday. I'm going to send you on a vacation. Jesus was enough. Coming into a fresh connection with Jesus was actually enough. I don't need to go on a vacation. I don't need to actually stop doing things. Because sometimes I find the things that people do when they get away from work are actually things that are going to drain them even more. I'm talking spiritually. Over in Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is a waste of life, but be filled with the Spirit. Kind of saying, if you get drunk, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have a culture that's a little more relaxed about drinking wine than many or some. But certainly, I do not believe that anybody around the place should get drunk with wine, get intoxicated, lose control of your life. I mean, learning restraint is very important. People have never learned that, and then they might allow themselves a liberty at some stage. They go, whoa, if a little's good, a lot must be better. And you got to know that there are boundaries in my life. There are boundaries in my world, in my relationships, in my sexuality, in my entertainment life, what I will watch. There are all kinds of things I won't watch on that box. Chris and I were sitting there the other night, and on comes this crazy horror ad for a horror movie. You know, people whose eyes are going out this way or something, and doll's face and cracked head and spiders and a guy with no mouth and, you know, like, ooh, turn that off. What, demons in my house? I never watched that. I've never watched a horror movie. I did once when I was a kid. That was enough for me. It was like I was looking between the crack and the seat. Oh, that's enough for me because it just freaked me out completely. You don't need that stuff in your head. Nightmares for your children. I might sound primitive when I say this. We didn't let our kids have TVs in their room because I wanted to know what they're going to watch, because those horror movies are very tempting to have a look at. I don't know why. Why is that? What's wrong with us? Honestly, what is wrong with us? We go, dunk, 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 oh, switch the channel. Wonder what they're doing now. And you go back. What is wrong with you? That just tells you how insane we are, how our human nature is crazy. It is attracted to things that are going to freak you out and destroy and hurt your world. You just got to make some principles in your life, live like a disciple of Christ, and say, I don't do that. I got boundaries in my world. Amen. I'm going to move away from that. So, you know, when it says repent, it means you got to let go some things. Now, honestly, you know, I've handled drug addicts, heroin addicts, alcoholics, and try to help them, and been somewhat successful with, you know, with the help of God, touching people's lives. But one thing that I have had to say to, I remember saying this to the first time I was dealing with a young guy who was an alcoholic. Couldn't stop drinking, had it in the morning, had it at lunch. I said, you've got to make a choice here, and you've got to understand that from here on in for the rest of your life, this is not part of it. It's over. You've got to drill that into your head. And we're going to start that, because that's too big for you to cope with. We're going to start it with just getting through the next 1 hour. You get through the next hour without a drink, and then you get through the next one, you get through the next one. And then you'll get through a day. You'll say, today, I'm going to get through today without it. Then you're going to get through 2 days, and then a week. But somewhere down the line, all of us have to realize there are some things you are never going to do. And that's a horrifying thought in a world that says, no, you can do anything and everything. Take it all. Eat your cake. Have the whole lot. You can have whatever you want. No, even Mick Jagger knows that. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get. And that's the point. You see, this is the thing that Adam and Eve were tempted with. The devil says, what? You're missing out. Oh, you're missing out. Imagine if you ate it. Then you'll find out what God's holding out from you. You might miss out on something incredible. I know kids who can't go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning because they think they're going to miss out on something. Go to bed at 10. Oh, something might happen. What? What's going to happen? I don't know, but go to bed at 9. Oh, I might miss something. So you got people saying, oh, think what you're missing. You're not going to have sex before you get married? All the girls. Think what you're missing. Hey, guys, you know, like, guys, yeah. All the guys, it's like, married. You're just going to stay with one woman? Think what you're missing. That's the devil. You say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to fall for that nonsense. The world's strong. You know, it's gone kind of really quiet in here. It's like, I can't believe how quiet it is in here. Paul, you know, I mean, man, I'm touching nerves. I got to talk about this. I got to talk about this because be wonderful. Say, oh, no, you don't need to repent at all. It's all the lovely grace of God, you know, all this kind of thing. I'm telling you, I know too many lives that are destroyed through these things. I'm reading through a list that Richard Forsyth gave me of pages of young people that we are dealing with in youth and in Bible college, and 90% of them are saying, I'm dealing with an addiction problem, I'm dealing with this deal of abuse and, you know, things like that. Oh my God, it's incredible. And all of them say, come from a broken family. So, you know, my heart is with any solo parents here. And, you know, my heart is for anybody who's been from a broken family. And we will do all we can. We will lay down our lives to try and rebuild and rekindle fire in your life and give you hope for a destiny and a future. And God's brilliant at that. On the other end, however, I would like to do all I can to strengthen marriages and to strengthen families and to strengthen moms and dads and kids trying to stay together. Because you're not getting a lot of help from the media. You're not getting a lot of help from a lot of other places. They're telling you, oh, you're outdated. You're kind of like the square crowd. Don't you ever swallow that. You are the guys, the solid foundation of a society that's going to be strong and powerful. And moms and dads, it's worth staying at home, Dad. It's worth staying there and battling it through the tough times. They are tough times at times. And if you've been through a tough time, you can recover. You can get it back. But, you know, when I talk to people who've been through that breakup, and, through, you know, the horror of the breakup was worse than the horror they had before. And sometimes we just can't, we don't know how to cope with very difficult bits of our lives. All of us have been there. When people ask me about how you've been married for 42 years, that's ridiculous. Like, people can't believe it. It's like I'm a dinosaur. I'm extinct. How does that happen? How do you do that? You know, my wife's not here. She's preaching at Silverwater, so I can say whatever I like. You know, like, thank you, Jesus. You know, no, I've got a really bad answer, and I can't tell you. I can't tell you. All right. You know. I said, once you figure out that half your married life is going to suck, then you're going to be okay. Amen. Yeah, that's right. You're good. So I told you it's a bad answer. I exaggerate. Not really. I exaggerate. I said, what do you think? Every day is going to be wonderful? Do you know, in a couple of weeks, when are we doing it? Christina Barrett. 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, Chris and I are going to be in bed on stage. We're going to do a sermon from the bed. Amen. Called Pillow Talk. So, yeah, no jammies. Amen. No way. Yes. No birthday suits. Amen. Nothing like that. It's going to be just in bed talking about how we get through it all. It'll be fun. Amen. I may not come that Sunday, you know, I'll just let her do it. But you got to work it out that not every day is going to be wonderful. There's going to be long silences. It's going to be nights when you're hanging off the edge of the bed, pretending you're asleep. Hoping that they think you're asleep. They reach out to touch you, don't want to touch you, all that stuff. I've heard about people who have those things. Oh, problem. I know some of you don't even relate. You just got the perfect thing going on, and that's gorgeous. You know, God bless you. The rest of us struggle, though. We got to work at the thing to make it work. Working at your marriage means not saying things when you want to. Oh, God, I still want to say that. But you don't. You repent. There are some things you're never going to do again. You got to accept that. When you get into your 50s, guys, there are some things you're never going to do again. You get into your 80s, I don't know what happens then. There are a lot of things you got to decide. I'm never going to do that again. I know a young couple who are 80. They got married. On a honeymoon night, he reached out, held her hand. They held hands. He let go. Second night, he reached out, held her hand. Third night on the honeymoon, he reached out. She said, not tonight, dear. Oh, pastor. Okay. How's that, Jamie? Too close to the truth, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You can edit stuff out. Thank you. Okay. So, you know, coming up to the idea of letting some stuff go, think about, make a list of things that you have got to let go because they're not reviving you. They're sucking the life out of you. They're draining you. And even though your flesh wants to do it, God is not going to, He's not going to get rid of it for you. You've got to make a choice. Being in Christ is like being in, is like being Tony Stark in the Iron Man suit. On my own, I can't do it. I put my suit on, I get in Christ, boom, I can do it. I kick that thing and it's gone a million miles. On my own, kick it, I just hurt my toe because the thing is too big for me. It's too tough for me to get over. And that's called salvation, but I've got to actually make a move. God moves in my moving. If I don't make a kick, if I don't make a resistance, nothing much is going to happen. But as soon as I do, I find there's a power assisting me to rid my life of the things that are trying to destroy me. Now, here's the deal. I want to quickly go to the next part of this, because if you just get rid of stuff, and there's a lot of blessing in not doing some things. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of the... Does not do this. Just not doing some things, just stopping yourself from slipping and sliding on the inside will stop your circumstances from slipping and sliding. So then you get traction. Once you say, no, I'm not doing that anymore, you start to move forward instead of just spinning your wheels. And if you just stop doing some things, you're leaving a huge vacuum, a hole in your world. And a vacuum will attract the negative. It doesn't attract the positive. When there's just nothing going on, the devil's... Idle hands of the devil's workshop. It's not a scripture, but it's close. Amen. Idle hands, if you're just hanging around doing nothing. So you're going to need to fill your life with stuff, doing things. So Jesus says in John 9:1, I must work the works of him who sent me. Now, okay, so let's have a look at this. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Go to the next. Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Okay, I must work the works. Everybody say, I must work the works. Okay, so over in John 4:34, Jesus says, my food, my nourishment is to do stuff. I get energized not by stopping doing things, but by actually doing the will of God who sent me. When I start to do stuff for God, he energizes me. When I do what he sent me to do, I get energized. Not what I sent me to do, but what he sent me to do, I get energized. So when I start serving, and he was just in the context of serving a woman, looking after her life. When you start helping out, you say, I'm going to be a connect group leader. Instantly, your life gets filled with needing to study the Bible, ring up some people, care about their world. You got stuff to do. And energy will come into your life from that. Rather than say, I'm just going to sit here and wait until I get energized. Energy comes from actually putting to work the motor that God has put on the inside of us. And so once I've got this thing, I'm not doing that, but this is what I am going to do. I'm going to fill my life with doing stuff for God. And so even when it's inconvenient, I'm still going to think, this is good for me. I'm going to get energized out of this. What am I going to do instead of that? I'm going to do something that drains me. So a revival, back to life, means I'm going to get back to some of the things that I've let go. I'm going to let fresh fuel come into my spirit once I start doing this. Now, when you go back on this thing, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. So he said, this man needs vision. This man needs vision. And then his disciples said, why is he blind? They're going down the completely wrong route. They want to fix blame. They want to blame somebody for the problem. Now, the problem of being drained, you might be able to understand it. You might be able to blame people. You might be able to say, this is why I'm visionless. This is why I'm sitting here going nowhere, feeling like nothing's ever going to happen for me. I can't see myself. I can't see God. I can't see anybody else in my world. Blindness is a horrible thing. We get blind, spiritually blind, when we're cut off from God. Our sins separate us from God. Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see. Our eyes are shut when we're disconnected from God. But once we start to move away from that, our eyes will open. We see a clear vision ahead of us. So here is Jesus saying, he saw this man who had stuff that was holding on to him from his past that was preventing him from seeing his future. And all the disciples, the religious crowd, are wanting to say, who do we blame? Was it his mother's problem? Was it his father's problem? That's exactly what they say. Is it because of them that this kid is like this? Is it because of... Jesus says, listen, let's not go there. It's not about fixing blame or excusing him or whatever. What it's about is understanding that this problem is for the glory of God. Any problem you're facing exists to be solved. That's the only reason it exists. It's for the glory of God. There's a positive outcome to whatever you're facing. And once you say, I'm going to let this go, I'm going to get into a future, I'm telling you, you will live for the glory of God. And this is what Jesus said, this is what the works of God are. Getting people set free from their past so they have a vision for their future. So energy, fresh life comes on the inside of them. He said, I must work these works of God. I would love to think that every one of us here have a passion to work the works of God, whatever that call is in our lives, whether it is a Connect group leader, whether it is helping in the car park, being on stage singing, serving as an usher, doing whatever it is to build this great church. All of us can get involved. There is a piece of the puzzle for every one of us to actually get involved in and discover divine purpose that God has got for us.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.